Good morning, church. Oh, good to see everybody this morning. As you can tell, I'm not Wes. Wes is out of town this weekend, so I get the privilege of being able to greet you this morning. So greetings in the Lord. It's so great to see you. I want to ask you to please, if you haven't done so, grab a bulletin before you leave this morning because there's some information that's in it that's really important. Use that QR code and go straight to our website, and you'll be able to connect with the bulletin that has more details online. So please do that because there's a lot of things going on that you need to be informed about. Don't forget, tonight at 5 o'clock, we have our family Bible class over at the Family Center, and we have here in the auditorium a worship service, and we would love for you to join us for that. This morning is going to be a very special service. This morning, Taylor is going to be leading our singing, but he's also going to be sharing with us a presentation about the campus ministry. And this is so important. We want to be supportive and show how vital the campus ministry is to this church. And we want to show the students how much we love them and appreciate their hard work this year, because this has been a wild and crazy year for all of us, but especially for our campus ministry students. So please take a moment this morning before you leave and tell them how proud you are of them. And Taylor will tell you more about that this morning. And speaking of them, a couple of the guys are going to lead us in our scripture reading and prayer at this time.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Psalm 97, verses 1 through 6. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, y'all can turn to those pages as well. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world, the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord, before the Lord of all the earth. The mountains proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory.
Good morning, church. If y'all will bow with me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today to congregate under your beautiful name, Jesus. We thank you for just, you know, giving us a building, a roof to just praise you under, my Lord, in a country where we are free to do so. We pray, my Lord, that we will leave all of the negative thoughts, all the things that are clouding our lives, all these horrible things that we can put in our minds and all the things that are happening, and just put them at the door and just help us just use today to praise your name and just know that, you know, you are going to save us and you are here to just be with us forever, and just no matter what happens, you are more powerful than all of what Satan can do out there. We are just blessed to be with you in your name this morning. We pray you will give our preacher this morning just a good message for us. Just bless him in his words and just help it just reach people that really need to hear your word this morning. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
Morning, church. All right, I'm going to do my best to lead you in worship this morning. Whitney and I just got back late last night from a really, really quick trip to Florida where we got to watch our favorite band of all time, 10th Avenue North, do their very last concert before breaking up. And then we also needed something to do while we were there during the day, and so we went to Universal Studios for a couple of days. And so not only was I the last couple of days singing at the top of my lungs at those concerts, but also screaming at the top of my lungs going on roller coasters and different rides. And so voice is a little weak this morning, but we'll give it our best shot. If y'all would be standing as we start in worship this morning.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into his presence, we bring an offering of song. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, alleluia, alleluia. We sing the song of the redeemed. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, alleluia, alleluia. We sing the song of the redeemed. You're the one, you're the only one. Lord, the people praise you. Lift you up and raise you. For you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. Lord, the people love you. Place nobody above you. Oh, you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. We're singing Alle, Alle, Alleluia. All the glory is to you. You're the only one. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. The only name that frees us. Oh, you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. And we will praise you right here and now. Let the hills and rocks cry out, for you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. Singing Alle, Alle, Alleluia. All the glory is to you. Lord, you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. And if we had 10,000 hands, we would bless you as you command. Oh, you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. And if we had 10,000 tongues, we would bless you with everyone. Lord, you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. Singing Alle, Alle, Alleluia. All the glory is to you. Lord, you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. Singing Alle, Alle, Alleluia. All the glory is to you. Lord, you are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. Amen. Please be seated. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. And let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me.
Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. And let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee, and let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. All right, this next song will serve to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Faithful love flowing down from the thorn covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Faithful love is a friend just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, Spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name.
Let's pray. God, we just come before you now as a group of believers. Ask that you be with each and every one of us during this time of communion. Help us to reflect on your sacrifice and your son's sacrifice for his death on that cross, for his broken body, and what that means for us as a group of believers, that we have the hope to be with you in heaven one day, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Pray with me again. God, as we continue this time of communion, we just ask that we continue to reflect on your sacrifice and the blood that was shed on that cross. We also ask that you not only help us to reflect on that sacrifice, but rejoice in your Son's resurrection. And just ask that we as a body of believers reflect on that, think about that, dwell on that, God, and then go out into this, our immediate community, out into the world, God, and just show others your love and your mercy, and to bring others closer to you, God. And it's your name I pray. Amen.
I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over me ever, watching wherever I go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter, and when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. When the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We are his children and he is our father, watching over our soul. Great is his love for his sons and his daughters, watching wherever we go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter, and when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. Next song will be before David's lesson. If it's convenient for you, if you would please stand. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest,
The fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
Amen. Please be seated.
Before I get into the sermon this morning, I usually pray before the sermon, but I want to ask a special blessing of God toward a couple of people. One is the James Young family. James died Friday night, and his memorial service will be at the Stephenville Funeral Home at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Visitation will start at 1. And I also want to pray for Bill. I think Bill is here, right? Yeah, there you are. I know Gloria and Bill have been going through a really tough time, and Bill has received a tremendous negative report from his doctor, and he wants us to pray for him, and I want us to be prayerful of Bill Scott. So the cancer that's in his body, it's a limit in what medicine can do for him, but God can do mighty things. And so we want to pray in his behalf this morning. So would you bow with me and let's have a prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for prayer. We take it for granted. It's something that we often don't use to its full potential. The opportunity to be able to talk to our Creator, the God of the universe, the all-powerful one, the one that is in control of everything, the one that could change everything in just a split second. And yet, we have the honor and the privilege to be able to pray to you, to talk to you as if by some means of our own making, we have earned that right, and we know that's not true. We know that we're but sinners, and we have so little control of anything in our life. And yet, by the blood of Jesus, by his sacrifice for us, we have the privilege to stand before you, to kneel before you, to bow our heads before you, and to communicate with you, knowing that you don't see us in our sin, but you see us washed perfect by the blood of Jesus. And we boldly come in your presence this morning, and we thank you for hearing our prayer. We ask this morning for a blessing on the Young family as they meet today to remember a man who lived his life well. We also pray for Bill and Gloria. We know this is a difficult time for them as they wait for all the different testing and the strategies that will be planned for Bill's body to fight this cancer. We know that it is a desperate situation from a medical standpoint. And we would ask, Father, that you would intervene. We would pray for you to work in his life that same marvelous, wonderful, tremendous power that you brought about when you created this world, and what you brought into this world in raising Jesus from the dead, that you will work in his life and bring healing and comfort. And we pray, Father, that your will be done, obviously, but we would pray that in whatever way you choose to work, that you'll bring about a victory for yourself, that through Bill's life you will be able to be known even more as the great God that you are. And we ask for that blessing. We pray this morning for this lesson, that you will give us all the ability to hear with our hearts with the dedication of our minds to be able to change whatever we need to change. And may we leave here more committed than we've ever been to serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You remember last week we talked about principle one and principle two. We said, based on the study of Nehemiah and Ezra, as they went back and they restarted working on the building of the temple and the walls around the city. And we said in principle one that they had a commitment to a common goal. And we studied that last week. And I want to just remind you a little bit about that principle as we look on it. I want you to remember that purpose is tied into the Great Commission. We talked about last week that often the emphasis of the Great Commission is evangelism. And it should be. That we get the good news out to people. That we tell people the gospel story. We tell them about what Jesus did for them. But that's not all that the Great Commission is about. In fact, the Great Commission says that we're to go and make disciples. That's a little different than just evangelizing. There's more to it than just telling the story of the gospel and people being baptized when they hear the message of the gospel. We're to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. We're to help them to become disciples of Jesus. That means to live their life in such a way that they become like Jesus. And if that's true for us as individual Christians, then the church as a whole needs to be like Jesus. That if we're talking about what we need to do as a church, then we need to understand that we need to be like Jesus. What we represent in this world is Jesus, and it needs to look like Jesus. And if people don't see Jesus in us, then they're not going to understand Jesus the way they should, because his body should represent him. Now in Romans chapter 8 verse 29, we find that is God's eternal plan. From the very beginning, God had in mind the church, and God had in mind that we would be like Jesus. That is the eternal plan that God had. And we need to do what God's plan is for the church. And so that's what we talked about last week in step one. We said if as a church we look like Jesus, here's some of the things that people are going to see in us. Love is going to be valued above legalism. They will hear our love, no matter how much we talk about what the commands are and how we need to keep the commands of the Lord, we still do it in love, because love is above legalism, because that's the way it was with Jesus. Secondly, service is above self. We put aside our self-centered desires so that we can serve the needs of others. And the more in need they are, the more we're willing to sacrifice, because that's the way Jesus was. To us as a church, truth is above traditionalism. We have our traditions. We value those traditions. They're important to us, but they're not near as important as the truth. And if our traditions get in the way of truth, we'll put aside our traditions for the truth, because that's the way Jesus was. And number four, we put mission above method. There's a lot of different ways to go about doing church. And every church has its own little method of doing stuff. But we will put aside our methods if it's not completing the mission. Jesus went about doing what he did to complete his mission. And it didn't matter whether it fit in with what the Pharisees thought he should be doing, or what other Jewish people thought he should be doing, or what the Gentile world thought he should be doing. His method was not near as important as his mission. And he would work whatever method he needed to complete his mission. And then number five, if we're going to be a church like Jesus, the eternal is valued above the earthly. And that's hard for us, because this is what we've got. This is what's tangible. This is what we hold on to. We really value the earthly. We don't want to put it behind us. There's so much about this earth that we cling to. But if we're going to be like Jesus, we put the eternal above the earthly. We'll sacrifice it all, even willing to go to a cross for the eternal. if we're a church like Jesus. So that's what we talked about last week. So this week, what we want to look at is that principle number two, we need to believe that God will give us success. God will give us success. Back years ago when I was playing football, when I just a little kid playing football in junior high, we got a new coach in the senior high. And the policy came down to the junior high that the junior high coach had to run the same offense as the senior high ran, because the philosophy of the coach in the senior high was that junior high is just getting you ready to play in senior high. Well, there was a very complicated offense that was trying to be run in the senior high, and that was passed down to the junior high. It was a little complex, probably, for junior high players. But we were doing our best, and our coach was trying everything he could, and he was learning a new offense himself. He'd been a coach in junior high for years, and he had basically run the same thing, and now he was trying to run this triple option offense that was new to him, and he was trying to teach young players that didn't know as much about football how to do that. Well, the first two games of the year, we looked really sloppy. Somehow we won, though. We had a good enough athletes, and we were able to score, and our defense did well. And so even though we ran the offense terribly, we still won. But the third game, it caught up with us. We were facing a really good team, and they beat us. And if you've played football, you know about the film day after you play a game. You go in to see the film, and the coach points out all the terrible things you've done, you know, and you're just ashamed of yourself for the way you played, because every mistake you make, it's right there on film, and the coach will point it out to you. And so everybody's dreading this, you know, the first day after we've lost this game. And we had been pretty pumped after winning the first two games, and then we got beat. The coach did something amazing. He didn't say a single negative thing about us. He brought us in, we turn off the lights, and we start rolling the film. And you know, this is not in the day of digital film either. I mean, this is pieced together, and the coach put a lot of work into it. And the only thing we saw on the film was when we ran that offense right. He said, "Boys, look at this. Now you're getting it. You're getting it. You've got this. Look at this. Oh, that good cut, Bearden. That's a way to cut into the line there. Good block, Venable." And he just pointed out all the things that we were doing right. Now, granted, there weren't too many pictures like that on the film, but he was positive. He did not say a single negative thing about us. He said, "Guys, you've got this. This is a hard offense to learn. This is difficult to do. Timing is crucial, and you've got this." And I tell you what, we practiced an amazing practice that week, and we slaughtered the team that we played that week. You see what he did? He made us believe in ourselves. If he had chewed us out because we weren't perfect, if he had pointed out all those mistakes that we made, he knew we needed to have some confidence. He knew we needed to believe in ourselves and believe that we could be successful. And so instead of accentuating the negative, he accentuated the positive. What I want you to see in Nehemiah in chapter 2 and verse 10 is that the people that Nehemiah was encouraging, he did the same thing. He said, "Guys, we can do this. We need to rebuild these walls. They look pretty bad right now. This is a bad situation. We've gone around town and we've looked at the terrible things that we're facing. But you can do this. God will give us success." And they believed it. They believed it. They bought in. And that goes a long way toward teamwork. Church, if we're going to be what we need to be as a church, we've got to believe that God will give us success. So I want to give you some reasons why you need to believe that God will give us success. Number one, it says in the Great Commission, "I will go with you. Wherever you go, I will go with you." That's how the Great Commission ends. We don't quote that much. I think part of it is because we believe it only applies to the apostles. We don't believe it applies to us. We know the Great Commission applies to us because every generation of disciples needs to be doing the Great Commission. We need to be going into all the world and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we need to be teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. But we also need to remind them, and Jesus will go with you everywhere you go. And that's the reason why we'll be successful. This was a theme all the way back in the Old Testament. God said to Moses when he called him to free the people from Egypt, he said, I'll go with you. He said, what's that in your hand? What's my staff? Throw it on the ground. It becomes a snake. And God said, now pick it up. I want you to know that I go with you. When you work a miracle, you have that staff in your hand, and you remember, I'm going with you, and that staff is going to do other miraculous signs. When Joshua took over for Moses, the command that Joshua was given by God was, I will go with you. You will not have to take over the reins of Moses' ministry by yourself. I will go with you. So be strong and courageous and do the will of God, for I will go with you. We need to believe, church, that if we set our sights on being like Jesus, being a church that is like Jesus, we will be successful if we really commit to that, because Jesus will go with us in doing it. He's not left us by ourselves to do this. Romans chapter 8, and for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to read it all to you. Romans 8 is one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible for this very reason. Notice in the very first verse, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God's grace stays with us. No matter what we do, no matter what mistakes we make, no matter how much we foul it up, God's grace is still there for us. It's abundantly poured out for us. It's available to us, always available to us. God's grace is there. Number two, the Holy Spirit is there. You read on in chapter 8 and it says, now those who are the children of God are those who have the Holy Spirit living in them. And you need to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by the flesh. And if the Holy Spirit is leading you, if the Holy Spirit is in you, then you can do great things for the power of God. And the Holy Spirit will help you become like Jesus. You see, we're not left to our own human ability to become like Jesus. We're given the Holy Spirit to help us become like Jesus. If I had to do it by myself, there's no way I could be like Jesus. Every time I'm tempted to do something that I shouldn't do, I would fail miserably in being like Jesus if I had to depend on my own power. But with the power of Jesus, I can resist temptation and I can be strong. If I had to base wise decisions on my own ability to discern and speak wisely, I couldn't do it. I couldn't be like Jesus in that. But the Holy Spirit helps me to be like Jesus. And it's important that we understand we're not left alone. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. And He stays with us all the way until the time that we receive our inheritance. By the Holy Spirit, we're the children of God, and we're made heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We have that Holy Spirit in us. Thirdly, I want you to see that we're given hope. Paul does this beautiful writing about how that the whole earth has been cursed because of sin. And the earth is groaning, waiting to be transformed into this glorious new creation of God at the time when the sons of God are redeemed. That's us. And ladies, He's not left you out of that. He uses sons because in that time, the sons were the heirs. And He uses that to tell us we're all heirs of God. We're all going to get the prize. We're all going to get the redemption that comes to us. But it comes through hope. If you don't have hope, you're hopeless. And you don't want to live your lives without hopeless. Whoever is hopeless is helpless. But if you have hope, then you know help is just around the corner. You know something better is on its way. You know something glorious is about to happen. And that's what we live with. We live with hope. And we know that we have help. And we know that something glorious is on its way. And then finally he says, and nothing, absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. He names some pretty bad things. He says famine and nakedness and disaster and tragedy and death and persecution. All those terrible things, he said. But listen, even in all of those, nothing, absolutely nothing in this world can separate us from the love that we have from God found in Christ Jesus. Here's the point. We're going to be successful if we have our mind on the right goal, on the right vision, on the right purpose. If we're striving as a church to be what God has called us to be. And number one on that is to be like Jesus. If we're really keeping that in mind, if that's the number one thing we're focused on, is to be like Jesus in everything that we do. Church, we will be successful. Because God has not left us alone in that. We're not by our own power to do that. It is by the power of God. Number two, we will be successful because God will give us the resources that we need. If you have your Bibles, I want to read this one to you because, frankly, you might not believe it's in the Bible if you don't see it. So you may want to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians, and I want you to see this in chapter 9. Now, what we do with 2 Corinthians 9 is every so often, you know, the preacher has to get up and preach about giving, right? I mean, we just do that every once in a while. You may say, well, David, I don't remember the last time you preached on giving. Well, one of the reasons is because you guys remember it so well, okay? You're a great church. You're great givers. But what we do is we read 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7, and we quit. Because that emphasizes giving. I want you to notice verse 8. I'm not going to quit at verse 7. I want you to notice verse 8. So 2 Corinthians 9, beginning of verse 8. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's usually where we stop. And of course, the preacher rants on about how we need to give, we need to do better, we've got this budget, you know, all those things, okay? I'm not going to stop there because look what verse 8 says. And this is something we have to believe in, church. We have to believe this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Did you hear that? You don't believe that's in there, do you? Well, get your Bible and look for yourself. Look at all the alls. This is amazing. And God is able. I mean, we could stop there and that would be enough, wouldn't it? God is able. Praise God, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things now, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. All right, now, let's walk out on the plank here a little bit. This is what it's saying. This is the Bible, okay? It's saying, if we have the vision that God wants us to have, the purpose that He has in mind for us, the mission that He has in mind for us, and it demands that we do these good works, the Word of God says, God will give us the resources to do it. That's there. Look at it. Read it. And He goes on to say that that will result in many people giving praises to God for what He has done through you. So you think about this. If we're right in saying that the main thing that we can do as a church is to be like Jesus, in whatever we do, If we can't be like Jesus in doing that, we have no business doing it, okay? The main thing we need to do is to be like Jesus. As a church, as a whole body, people look at us and say, man, I see Jesus in them. If what we're doing is the right thing to do, if it's God's vision for us, God will supply. That's one of the reasons why we can have confidence in this. Does that mean we'll never make a mistake? That we'll never do anything we shouldn't do? No. What it says, though, is if our heart is right, our vision is right, our purpose is right, our goal is right, what we have set our mind to do is God's plan for us to do, God will supply what we need to get it done. Now, you may not like that. And another thing you might not like about it is that it comes right after the giving passage. So it's implied in that that one of the ways that God will do it is by the gracious giving of people who support the project, right? That's one of the ways God works. I'm telling you what, I have seen that more in this church than I think any place I've been. Time after time after time, we've decided to do something. Maybe it's because a missionary is ill and we need to give them extra support. Maybe it's because we want to get thousands of Bibles over in Zimbabwe and we feel like that's our responsibility to do it. Maybe it's because we feel like we need to do something in reaching the people who are in prison. And so we put money into sending Bibles and correspondence lessons to prison, even though it goes beyond what we've been able to budget for it, and so forth. We do things that are impossible to do, and somehow we've had the resources to do it. I'll tell you an example of that. There's somebody who is not a part of our church that felt like that is a good work. They're not part of us. They heard about a good work that we were doing. And they gave a few thousand dollars just to help us do it. The other day, I was talking to some people about the casserole thing that we do. They're not a part of our church. They said, hey, can I make some casseroles for you? And of course, I said, no, absolutely not. That's our job. Right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there are people who have heard about basic needs and they say, hey, I want to give $1,000 to that. Not a part of our church. Now listen, that's not to say that we sit back and we just wait and say, okay, God's going to dump it on us. That's not true. But we need to believe that God will supply what we need. If we're going in the right direction, if we have in mind what God has in mind for us, God will come through. It'll happen. And it'll be for His praise, to His glory. Okay, next point. And I'm sorry, Taylor, I didn't mean to dwell that long on that, okay? But I'll get there, okay. Number three, God guarantees He will do beyond what we ask or imagine. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. You know it. You know the passage. Listen to what it's saying. Back in verse 10 and 11 of chapter 3, Paul has said that God's plan for letting the world, and not just the world now, read this passage. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11 says, not just the world, but the angelic host, all of God's creation is going to know what God is doing through Christ by the means of, get this now, church, us. What a lousy plan, right? I mean, God, what were you thinking? You know, Jesus, don't you have an alternate plan? I mean, the church has let you down so many times. Is this your plan? That's what Ephesians 3, 10, 11 says. It is in God's plan. This is God's wisdom. That through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known. And then what's remarkable about that is you skip down to verses 20 and 21, and it says, so God's going to do this through His church and do more than we ask or imagine or think. Now, I got to tell you, I come up with some wild ideas about what the church should do. I mean, sometimes people have to kind of rein me back in, you know, and say, David, we can't do that. I mean, like, oh, well, we can do this. No, we can't do that. I tell you what, I believe in dreaming. I believe in thinking big. I believe in letting our imagination just go wild, because you see, this is what God said. God will go beyond what we ask or imagine. Now, the problem may be we don't ask enough. And we don't dream enough. You know, what would it be like if we stood in judgment? What if all of us just stood in judgment together? You know, what if Jesus said, okay, I want the Graham Street Church of Christ to line up over here. We're going to have a little group judgment here on the church. You know, that actually happens in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, okay? So, what did Jesus say? Okay, Graham Street Church of Christ, up over here. I want to say some things about your problem, church. I love you. You were great disciples in so many ways. There's so many outstanding individuals in this church, and I just love the way you loved me. But I tell you, you had this fault. You had one problem. You didn't ask enough. I would have done so much more for you if you had just asked. I would have blessed you. I told you I would go beyond what you ask or imagine. You didn't imagine enough. You didn't dream big enough. You didn't ask enough, because I would have blessed you with it. Church, let's don't be guilty of that. Let's dream big. Let's ask big. And let's be sure that God will give us success. And when He does give us success, don't take credit for it. It's not us. We don't have the ability to do it. You see, if we start taking credit for it, and we start patting ourselves on the back, and we start saying, oh, look how great we are, God has to, He has to roll it back. Because it's not good for us. He keeps supporting us if we're going to take the credit for it. The reason why He will go beyond what we ask or imagine is because He is glorified. Because the world gets to know Jesus through seeing Jesus in us. Church, let's be Jesus in our community. Let's be Jesus in our county. Let's be Jesus in our state. Let's be Jesus in the world. Let's let people see Jesus through us. And let's be confident that God will give us success if that's what we're trying to do. This morning, I encourage you. We would love for you to join the effort. If you're visiting with us today, if you're not a member of this congregation, we would love for you to be a part of what we're doing. Join us in trying to help the world see Jesus through us. That's what it's about. That's what we want. If you want to do that, we'd love for you to join us and be a part of that. Taylor, would you lead us in a song?
The Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Jesus Christ, He died for me, and He took away my sin. I will live with Him for eternity. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
Amen. Please be seated. All right. This morning, as David had mentioned in the welcome, we're going to be honoring some of our students this morning who are graduating this semester. Before we get started, just want to make sure, is Kayla anywhere? Did she get to make it this morning? Okay. We have three graduates this morning that I wanted to recognize, and each of these three graduates, you know, I say this about, I think, every group that we have come through our ministry, but just a special group of individuals, a group of people that we're definitely going to miss seeing around campus and seeing in our campus center. But I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of the way that they pushed through a very, very hard year, a year that looked a lot different than anything they've ever experienced, a year that they didn't get to really wrap up their college experience probably the way that they wanted to, but they still made the most of it. So I'm really proud of this group and what they've accomplished, and I'm so glad we get to celebrate them this morning and that this congregation gets to join me in that. So what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to have, as I call their name, each student come up here to the front. Whitney's going to give them a gift from the ministry. And graduates, I'm going to ask you to stand up here for a moment until we finish recognizing both of you guys. And then we're going to have a prayer blessing over y'all. So we'll start first with Bradley Fleming. Bradley is getting his degree in business administration and business management with emphasis in human resources. After graduation, he plans to begin working towards his plan of opening a Christian-oriented business to help spread the word of the gospel to those who might not otherwise have heard of the good news of Jesus Christ, which I think is really awesome. His favorite verse is John 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And then I asked each of them what their favorite memory was, either as being involved in Texans for Christ or just as a Tarleton student in general. Bradley said that his favorite memory being in the ministry was the camping trip that we took just outside of Stephenville for one of our retreats. He said this was his favorite memory, just being able to relax and enjoy quality time with other Christ-loving individuals. So Bradley Fleming. All right, our next graduate was not able to be here this morning. It's Kayla Hanover. And she's doing her student teaching this year, and unfortunately for her, she has pretty strict restrictions working for the school that she's working for, and isn't allowed to be around a lot of people outside of when she goes to her school each day, and so she wasn't sure she was going to be able to be here this morning, and she wasn't able to make it. So, but her degree, she is getting her degree in interdisciplinary studies with a teaching certification in early childhood through sixth grade. After graduation, Kayla plans to hopefully get a job at the school that she's clinical teaching at, or otherwise somewhere at a school district near or around Stephenville for the first few years, and then she hopes to move towards the Fort Worth area to teach. Her favorite verse is Proverbs 31:25, which reads, "She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come." And then finally, her favorite memory, Texans for Christ, would be Fall Retreat 2019. She says she loved this retreat because we got to split into teams and compete against each other with a bunch of fun team building games and activities. And this is where she got to become closer to a lot of members of the group. and met one of her best friends this weekend. And so she just says that she's grateful for everything this ministry has done for her over the past 3 years. So our last graduate, he's here with us this morning. It's Elijah Imbong. Elijah's getting his Bachelor of Science in Psychology with a minor in Childhood and Family Studies. After graduation, he plans to attend graduate school. He's not sure exactly where. It'll either be continuing here at Tarleton, North Texas, or Oklahoma State. Elijah's favorite verse is Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, which reads, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And Elijah's favorite memory, he gave us both a memory in Texans for Christ and as a student. He says, "In Texans for Christ, it was any time that I got to hang out with the ministry. It's like a family when we get together." And then as a student at Tarleton, he says, is any memory that he got to represent Tarleton at. And believe me, that's probably a lot of memories, because Elijah's probably the most involved person I've ever met. I probably couldn't even fit on a single page of paper everything that he's been involved in at Tarleton throughout his time here. And just about anywhere you go on campus, he's probably going to be there. So any events, anything going on. I wanted to take a moment real quick. Actually, go ahead and give your hand for Elijah. Like I said, this is a special group of students. You know, for each of them, I felt like the ministry was special to them in different ways. Bradley, you know, he's been with us the last couple years, and for him, he really grew into leadership in our ministry. He's one of our guys that leads a small group Bible study each week. Pretty much anything that I needed, I could always go to Bradley and ask if he'd be willing to help, and he would always say yes. In fact, this last week when we were out of town, Bradley's the one who led our Wednesday night worship lesson, and for him, I just felt like this ministry provided him with purpose, a way to serve, a way to give back to others, and seeing the growth just in these last 2 years in him was a really awesome thing to witness. For Kayla, I wish she, like I said, I wish she could be here this morning with us. For her, I felt like the ministry was a community for her. You know, during these last 3 years that she's been here and been involved in our ministry, she's gone through a lot. She's dealt with loss. She's dealt with some different struggles in her life. And in Texans for Christ, for her, I think was a place to belong, a place to be loved, a place to be encouraged. And I think she really found that within our ministry. And Elijah, I think you found kind of a home base. Like I said, he was super involved on campus. He is probably the busiest person I know, which is a good thing. You don't have to make that face. But I think for him, he was always able to come back to Texans for Christ and it be a place that feels like home. Like he said, a family. Whenever he got to get together with us, he could always count on a good home-cooked meal on Tuesdays, and he'd see us just about every week, probably rushing to work or rushing to whatever event he had to go to next, barely being able to stop, but he was always able to come by on Tuesdays at lunch. But it was always that home base that he was able to find within the ministry that kind of brought him, I think, back to his roots and was a comfortable place to be able to just kind of unwind, relax, recharge. And so I guess what I want our congregation to know this morning is that our college ministry, even through a hard year, and I'll tell you, it has been a hard year. I think Whitney and I can tell you both for us that it was challenging. We're used to being able to have students in our home. We're used to being able to interact with them in a lot more ways than we got to throughout COVID. But even in a hard year, there's still so much good, I think, that happened as a part of what we're doing in our ministry. And I think these students that are standing before you this morning are a testament to that, that, you know, God can work in wonderful ways, even whenever we can't always feel it, when we can't always see it. And I'm just so proud of these guys. I'm proud of all their work. It's always bittersweet. I'm sad that they're going to be, you know, leaving us, not being here every day and getting to see them. But I'm excited for each of you guys and excited for Kayla to see what y'all do next. And I know y'all are going to do great things. What I want to do next, I'm going to ask, is Hubert here this morning? I'm going to ask Hubert to come forward. Hubert Collier is one of our elders, and he's going to say a prayer of blessing over our graduates. And I'm going to invite anybody who wants to come and sort of surround our graduates as we pray for them. You're welcome to do that if you want to come up here and show your support. If you're not comfortable with that, I know we're in the midst of COVID. Just extend the hand out to them. That's fine from where you're at. But I'm going to ask Hubert to say a prayer of blessing over our graduates. Real quick.
If you would pray with me. Our all-merciful and loving Father, we are so thankful for the privilege we have had of being here today to worship you. We're thankful, God, for the bond that draws us together as believers in you and in your Son. We're thankful for the cleansing that we have had through your Son, through the shedding of his blood, through our faith in you. And we're also thankful, God, for the privilege that we have as a congregation of supporting many different efforts here and around the world, and especially this morning, we honor the work with our college students. We're thankful for Taylor and Whitney for leading this ministry, for all those who assist them. And at times like this, we are both sad and happy. We are happy for these graduates, for the education they have received at the university, but especially for the education, for the encouragement, for the uplifting, for the building up, for the relationships that they have developed with fellow believers during these past years. We pray, God, that you will be with Bradley, be with Kayla, and be with Elijah. And in the days to come, whatever time you give them on this earth, may they grow ever stronger in their faith. May they continue to reach out as they make decisions about their future. We pray that you will give them wisdom, give them patience, and give them insight for the many decisions that they're going to have to make regarding a career, regarding a future, and where to live, and the people to be around. We pray, God, that you will continue to bless them. We're thankful that they have been here, for all that they have done on campus and with the ministry. And we pray, God, that your blessings will continue to be with them, and they will be a blessing to many others, that in their plans for the future, God, that they will put you first, and that they'll have the confidence and assurance that you are with them, that you are there to bless them and guide them. And we're thankful, God, for your spirit that dwells within them. And together we all say, amen.
All right. While we are celebrating the campus ministry this morning, I did want to take a moment to... hey, don't be... Come on. Get back and sit down. All right. Where was I? While we're celebrating the campus ministry this morning, we want to take a moment to celebrate another thing involving the campus ministry that took place recently. You may have noticed if you've driven down Tarleton Street or Ollie Street, recently redid the exterior of our Tri-C building. And so I wanted to give those of you who maybe haven't seen it an opportunity to see some of the work that we've done with that. We had several students and several members here as well offer their time and resources to help us with that. a few weeks ago, and we spent about 3 days painting the outside of the Tri-C. And so I wanted to, these are some pictures of us working on it, and here in a moment I'll give you some before and after pictures of the transformation of it, but it looks so much better. It was, I think, a much needed upgrade for our building, and we're really excited about that, and it's that building's been a great resource for our ministry, being right there close to campus, and just as served a lot of different functions for us, so we're very thankful for those who helped us with that, and just wanted to highlight that this morning. If you go to the next slide, these are some before and after pictures for each side of the building, so you can kind of see the transformation there. We're really excited about it. We're really thankful to those of you who helped. I would recognize those who helped this morning, but I was actually asked by some of the volunteers. They didn't want to be recognized for the work that they did, which I think just goes to show their humble attitude and just wanting to do it to help out and to serve and nothing else. So we're so thankful for that and excited for what that'll do for our campus ministry. All right, this next song will serve as our closing song, and then we will have one of our shepherds come up and do a closing and a dismissal. So if you would be standing with me for this final song. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Y'all be seated for just a minute. I'll try to make this short. I know the natives are getting restless, as in my grandkids. They're ready to be done. But thank you for being here this morning. Thank you, Taylor, for your singing. And thank you for the work that you do there at the Tri-C. Thank you, David, for your lesson. I had a couple announcements. We're getting ready, or the Basic Needs is getting ready for their garage sale. So starting next Sunday, May 2nd, we need some volunteers to help Deborah and her team. They're going to meet about 2 p.m. and start getting set up for the garage sale that will be in the following week there. But they're actually getting ready all that week. If you have donations to make, you can bring them over on Tuesday and Wednesday, but they'll be working all week getting ready. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the garage sale. also want to remember, continue to remember the Young family in our prayers. We also want to remember the Sharon Kenton family. And that is Robert Self. He was an elder here for a long time. That's his daughter that passed away just recently. This morning, I've got a quote that Margie gave me this morning. She ran across it somewhere. It says, "Preach the gospel wherever you go. If necessary, use words." Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you love us. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the sacrifice that was made. We're thankful for the blood that cleanses us and allows us to have a relationship with you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this family. That we're thankful for each member here, for each one that loves you and wants to serve you and wants to see your kingdom grow. May we work together as a team. May we continue to grow stronger. May we continue to live for you and be an example to those that are out in the world. May we continue to be a light in this community. Help us to always serve you. Watch over us, protect us. We know that Satan is always around, always seeking to deceive us, always seeking to devour someone. So may we team together, may we work together, and may we be there for each other to get through those times and the temptations that are put before us. We ask all this through Christ. Amen. Have a great week.
It's who I am. It's who I am.